Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Hey, it is Monday. Positive, enthusiastic, exciting, entertaining. It's all those things.
Hey, Mace, we have a live on-the-scene reporter for the latest on golf in Ventura.
Oh, wow.
This is Dave in Ventura, who's online now. Dave, you're on 710 ESPN. How you holding up?
Good, John. Thanks, man. How are you, Mace, doing?
Everything's all right, man.
But we're Dave, I'm anxious. I'm planning on driving up to Ventura to play golf. You say if I do that, I should be ready to wait in line. Is this true?
Oh, my goodness. John, today was the first day that we opened up. I work at, I don't know if I can say the golf course up here.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
Sure.
Sterling Hills Golf Course up here in Camarillo.
Sure.
We opened up first thing this morning. There were guys waiting in the dark to hit it this morning, and our tee sheet was full until, well, it's full till almost 6 o'clock tonight. We had probably 40 people in line waiting to, just hit range balls. It looked like somebody was like Costco a few weeks ago back. People getting
wow.
in there trying to get toilet paper. It was absolutely insane. The first tee time that was available tomorrow was like 5:30 in the afternoon. So Mace, let them yell at you all they want to, brother. You know what, man? We needed this. We played. Now we couldn't use electric cart. We couldn't use any carts up here. We had to
right,
walk
I saw that,
or,
yeah.
or carry our bags. But, you know, heck, I played the foursome that I played with. I mean, we all walked. You know, you're out there in the fresh air. It just, it was a great day. And as far as the holes go, we had, if you guys are familiar, like with those pool toys, those little styrofoam wrap
right.
things that the kids play with, the floaters.
Yep.
They had those cut to where when you knocked your putt in, they had like a little piece of 3-inch floaty sitting there in the hole to where all you had to do is reach down. You grabbed it with two fingers and you're on your way to the next hole. So Mace, let them yell at you all you want, man, for all those people that left those nasty tweets and emails to you or whatever. There's a bunch of us out here that back you 100%.
And everybody's maintaining social distancing still,
yep.
right?
Yep. Everybody, so
long okay. live Good. Golf. Thank you, Dave.
Good, man. Good.
Yeah,
glad
have
to hear
fun
it,
out
Dave.
There. All right, so Mace, the good news is if they're golfing in Ventura County, baseball cannot be far behind.
Yes.
And joining us right now is Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner. JT, how you holding up, man?
Oh, I'm holding up. How you guys doing?
Everything is all right. Everything's all right. So what are you filling up your days with right now, JT?
Just trying to stay busy. We got our workouts that our strength coaches are sending us. My wife and I go on a couple walks a day, take the dogs out, some bike rides, try to stay in shape, keep the cardio up. And then we've been keeping ourselves busy with our foundation and trying to stay involved and help out as many people in the city of L.A. as we can.
If Justin, if more people want to get involved with that, get involved with your foundation, how can they do it?
We have a website, justinturnerfoundation.com. You can go on there and donate. Or one of our main beneficiaries and the organization we work most closely with is the L.A. Dream Center, who's actually passing out meals from 7:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. I think this is their 31st straight day of going 11 hours a day. And
awesome.
Passed out something to the tune of 330,000 hot meals, I think it is, as of today. So we've been working closely with them and local restaurants in L.A. to purchase food from them, from the restaurants, and have them delivered to the Dream Center so the Dream Center can provide hot meals for families in need.
That's great. So, Justin, obviously, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge Dodgers fan. It is killing me that there is no baseball right now. And, of course, we're in the middle of the public health crisis. And so it's obvious why that has to be. Have you heard any of these plans about the idea of playing in Arizona and going there for 4 months and playing an entire season? And what do you think of that?
Yeah, I've heard all the rumors. You know, all 30 teams going to Arizona and quarantining. I've heard, you know, splitting the league up and half the teams going to Arizona and half the teams going to Florida. I know they're looking into some other places that are possibly, you know, being opened up soon as places to play and possibly some minor league stadiums as well. So I know, you know, the important thing is this isn't like a strike or a work stoppage or anything like this. I think both sides are so eager to find a way to get this done and get a season in and start playing as soon as it's safe for everyone to play, that it's a good thing for baseball. So, again, I've said it a couple times. I don't care where they want to put us or where we have to go. I just want to get back on the field and start playing again. And, hopefully, you know, they can get some answers in this testing. And, once we get enough testing available, then we can start talking about a season.
Justin, you had a chance, and we're talking to Justin Turner from the Dodgers. You had a chance to barely get things going at spring training before they pulled the plug on all this, but I know you probably had a chance to meet Mookie Betts and see how he would fit in with you guys if you get a chance to play. How excited are you to add him to your lineup when Cody's coming off an MVP season? You appear to be healthy. Muncy's signed. Just talk about, in general, incorporating Mookie Betts if you guys get a chance to play.
Yeah, he's just another dynamic five-tool guy. You know, our outfield, it's going to be tough to get hits with our outfield out there with him and right and belly and center. And then, you know, it doesn't even matter who you put in left. We're pretty good defensively throughout the outfield. And then you add that caliber of a leadoff hitter into our lineup, which is something, you know, we haven't really had a true leadoff hitter in the 6 years that I've been here. In 2017, when CT kind of stepped into that role and sparked the offense, he was really good for us at the top of the lineup. But to have that, like, true leadoff hitter added into the lineup that we already had, I think is going to be pretty electric, and it should be exciting. And one thing that Mookie's really good at, he's really good at a lot of things, not just baseball, but he scores a lot of runs. So I think the guys who are hitting behind him are excited about that.
Yeah, we had heard that Mookie actually got up and gave a speech on the very first day of spring training. Take us into that. What went down?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know this was happening, and I don't think too many guys knew. But he got up in front of the room and said he had something to say, and just talked about, you know, some of the things that they did over in Boston to change their culture. And one of them was to try to hold everyone a little bit more accountable, during spring training and during practice, and to make sure, you know, when you're out there in the morning on the backfields and you're taking your ground balls and you're doing your bunt defenses and pickoff plays and whatever it is that you're doing back there, you know, that stuff can get kind of repetitive and boring, and guys can lose interest pretty fast. So we put a little, Mookie put a little challenge on the guys and, said anytime you make an error, whether it's playing catch, in a drill, taking ground balls, during batting practice or in the games, you make an error, it's $20. You got to add it to the pot. And what it created was just a competitive atmosphere and a lot of excitement, fun, competition where, you know, we're taking ground balls and you turn around and you see an outfielder miss a fly ball and everyone on the field is yelling $20. And the same thing goes when the outfielders are out there and they see an infielder kick a ball and they're all yelling at us, $20. So it just made spring training. I mean, it was flying by, and, you know, we were ready to go. I think, obviously came to a halting stop with all this coronavirus stuff. But, you know, whenever we get that date, I think the guys are eager and ready to get back after it and get whatever type of season we can get in.
All right, we're talking to Justin Turner from the Dodgers. And, Justin, I love your home run derby idea to end extra inning games. I thought Mason, who's a baseball traditionalist, would hate it, but he even likes it. Where are we going to run into opposition, Justin? Who do we need to convince? And when you bounce the, and for people who don't know, I'll let you explain it. What's your idea to end extra inning games?
Yeah, I think to speak to the traditionalists, which I am one of those people, I don't think that we should be changing all these rules in baseball. I hate the slide straight into second rule. I hate the slide into home rule. I hate these ideas of pitch clocks and all this nonsense. I think our game is great the way it is. That's why it's America's pastime. But this year is obviously going to look a little different. We need to try to play as many games as we can in a short amount of time, possibly in a desert that's 110 degrees. So we're going to have to find ways to, you know, make sure everyone stays as healthy as possible. And the home run derby idea is really to protect our pitchers and protect our arms, because it's going to be tough to play one of those 15, 16, 17 inning extra inning games. That'll be tough on a pitching staff to cover that, and then to possibly have to come back and play a doubleheader the next day. So my thought was, you know, you play the 10th inning, that's your extra inning, and if it's still tied, you go into a home run derby. And, you know, I just kind of threw this out. I said each team picks three players. You give them 5 outs or 10 swings. See who hits the most homers. Whoever hits the most homers wins the game. And I think it'll do a lot of things. It'll shorten the game. It'll save our pitchers innings. It'll save them pitches. It'll create some buzz for fans. I know everyone's been wanting to see Mike Trout in the home run derby.
Yep, there you go.
Here's your chance. Here's your chance to see him. It'll help fans. Hopefully we have fans at our games. I don't know how that's going to look when we get started, but I think fans will stick around if they have the opportunity to see, let's say, the Yankees, for example. You got Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Mike Stanton in a home run derby. I think they're going to want to stick around for that. No one's going to be leaving early. So I think it's just something that's fun, exciting, and it's a good way to protect our pitchers at the same time.
JT, what do you think of this new rule that once a reliever comes in, he's got to face at least three batters?
Yeah, again, just messing with the rules and trying to speed up the game. And I've never really got a straight answer for why it's so important to get our baseball games under 3 hours. I think, you know, people who love baseball will sit there and watch it as long as it takes. But I'm not really a fan of it. I think it's going to cost some guys some jobs. Those left-handed specialists who have been around this game for a long time, coming in and getting tough lefties out.
Yeah, you guys have a good one in Adam Kolarik.
Adam Kolarik, yeah. So what happened with Adam, he actually came in and he was trying to mess with his pitch arsenal and tweaking and trying to find new pitches because, you know, I actually faced him before we traded for him in Tampa. And, I mean, he was tough on me anyway. I think I rolled over right. Short or something. But, he, you know, it made him, now he's tweaking with new pitches, sliders and cutters and elevating and stuff because he's trying to, you know, fight for a job because he's labeled as a left-handed specialist and he's not supposed to get righties out, and now he's got to figure out a way to do that so he can make the team. So I guess they're trying to speed the games up. I don't know how much this is going to do it, but it'll make the manager's job a lot easier late in games because they know what pitcher's going to be in for that whole inning, and it'll make that pinch hit spot, that guy will know a lot sooner now.
All right. Well, listen, JT, we wish you good health, and we are very, very hopeful. Are you hopeful that there's going to be some kind of season?
Yeah, very hopeful. Like I said, the good thing about this is, you know, both sides are very, very, very motivated and determined to figure out a way to make sure that there's a season this year, and there's no doubt in my mind that you know, as long as, you know, we can make sure the health side of it is okay, that there will be a season.
Justin, right. Good luck with everything. Man, by the way, I just checked out JustinTurnerFoundation.com. Mason and I have worked with the Dream Center before. Matter of fact, we took a couple of busloads of hurricane victims a few years ago to a Dodger game, and so we got to know all those people up there. And good for you and Courtney for keeping those people fed. And if you want to help out, you can go to JustinTurnerFoundation.com. Keep it up, JT. Thanks for the good work.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, cool. There's Justin Turner of the Dodgers.
And you're not fighting me on that home run derby thing, are you?
No. I think this is your – I mean, I might fight you next year.
Right.
I may not be into it next year, but for this year, in a year where we might need multiple doubleheaders in order to get enough games in for it to matter, I'm like, yeah, I mean, if that's going to shorten the game so we can get two games in, then I say, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it should be. Oh, hey, when we come back, let's play some voicemails, and
okay,
we'll open the phone lines at 877-710-ESPN.
Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. And by everything you ever wanted to know about John Ireland, you can learn about in the Culture Pop podcast, which is at stevemason.com.
If you thought The Last Dance was long, wait till you hear this thing.
Yeah, this should be like a three-parter. But there's really interesting stuff that I never knew about John Ireland is in there.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, me too.
And by the way, our phone lines are open, 877-710-ESPN. And our email or our voicemail line is open as well. Lindsay set this up a couple of weeks ago for people that don't have time to wait online and don't have access to something to tweet with, but you want to be part of the show, or you can leave us a voicemail at any time at 530-377-6710. That's 530-ESPN-710. Funch, go ahead and play one of the voicemails. What do we got?
Hello, Lindsay. This is Raul from the San Fernando Valley. What do you think of the idea of doing a dating game with you asking me questions and a couple other contestants and letting John and Mace go wild with it? So call me up, 818.
Wow.
Bye.
I would be surprised if Lindsay would be willing to do this. Lindsay, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the creepier voicemails we've got.
Let me tell you a true story. When I was doing Top 40 Radio, we did this exact bit. We did a dating game bit.
How did it go?
We matched two people together, and they seemed like they would be very happy together. And they went out on a date, and they dated a couple of times, and we sort of kept track of them. Then one of the woman called back, and she called the station management, and she said, "I just got an STD.
This guy
that you hooked me up with."
Oh my gosh!
She took legal action against the station.
That's a very short way of saying, Lindsay, this is not happening.
This bit will not go down, no way, shape, or form.
Wow, fudge. Next voicemail, please.
Hey, guys, this is Andy calling from Upland. I have another complaint about Ireland's pronunciation.
Oh, good.
Now, the last guy, I think, was the 21, 22. I think that sounds fine. But the one that's been bothering me is Mike Conley is the most ambidextrous player, when really it's ambidextrous. Please, please, let's fix this. Thanks.
Yeah, let's fix this.
I think that's
there are great crises in the world.
A minor thing. So he thinks there's a big difference between ambidextrous and ambidextrous.
Well, it's just one way is the right way to say it, and the other way is the wrong way to say it.
Well,
that's
no,
pretty much it.
No, but it's a matter of interpretation. Like, Ramona likes to say Dwight Howard's name. She says Dwight, one syllable. And I say Dwight. Can you tell a difference?
Did we decide what the correct answer is?
Yeah, we asked him. And I said, pronounce your name. And he said it in two syllables. He said Dwight Howard.
So Ramona was wrong.
Well, of course she was wrong, but she doesn't care. She goes, she wants the people to say it like her. Now, is there a difference between ambidextrous and ambidextrous?
It's just a matter of pronunciation. You've got all the right letters there.
Right.
I think we can all agree that, like, you know, John as a play-by-play broadcaster tends to overly enunciate in
Correct.
A way, I guess you could say, but you're supposed to. And that's what they tell you in broadcasting is always to be conscious of how you enunciate, like
the letter W.
It's something that's hard to do.
I used to have a friend, Mace, you know my friend Tom Westhoff, the dentist in Westlake Village.
Oh, yeah, he put in my fake teeth.
Yeah, so Dr. Westhoff, he spells his name W-U-E-S-T-H-O-F-F, and it's so weird that his name would start with a W-U. It became his nickname. We call him W-U.
WU?
There's no other words that start with that, right?
No, not that I can think of.
Can you think of another word that starts with that? No.
It's different.
So, but, Lindsay, to your point, the best skill you can have as a play-by-play broadcaster is that you're able to pronounce words very quickly. Like, the greatest I ever heard at it was Bob Miller, the Kings hockey announcer. You know, he's retired now. Bob's still around. But Bob could describe something at lightning-fast pace, and you could understand exactly what he was saying no matter how fast he was talking. That's what you want if you're a play-by-play guy, is to be able to talk incredibly fast, and everybody knows what you're saying no matter how fast you're talking. That's Bob.
Right. So I think people need to understand that, like, this is a skill that you've acquired over the years, and that even though it may be annoying to some people in the talk radio format, like, that's what you're used to doing.
I think in honor of that voicemail, I'm going to use the pronunciation ambidextrous for the rest of my life.
Ambidextrous.
Funch, what else you got?
Hi, Lou Riley here, Riverside specifically.
Lou! We know Lou.
Quiz for the fearsome foursome was prompted as a result of two questions asked on Fastlane on Tuesday. Who of the four is the best speller? Proving it by spelling the most misspelled word in English today, millennial. John didn't have a chance to prove his spelling prowess Tuesday, so I'm guessing the winner will be either him or Steve, as Lindsay and Funch are as terrible spellers as they are an awesome producer and technician. If only one spells millennial correctly, he or she is crowned the champion.
Okay.
If two or more do, or nobody does, attempt the second most misspelled word, sacrilegious. If still no winner, then the third most misspelled word, accommodation. And if still no winner, the fourth misspelled word, Wednesday. There has to be a best speller after these four brain busters.
Okay.
Thank you, Lindsay, for being such a terrific new producer.
All right, first of all, shout out to Lou, who, Mace, you remember, came in when on our veterans broadcast.
Oh, yeah,
Lou,
that's right, sure.
Lou's a military veteran, listens to the show all the time, contributes through Twitter and other ways. So, Lou, good to hear your voice. Funch, would you like, well, one of us has to, should we have Lindsay look the words up? One of us has to look the words up to see if we're spelling them correctly, right?
I could do it, yeah.
Okay, so what did he say the first word was? Millennial, right?
Millennial.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mace, you want to try? Or do you want me to try?
Sure, I'll go.
Okay.
It's M-I-L-E-N-N-I-A-L.
That is incorrect.
All right,
that
can I try?
Go ahead, John.
Boy, I think I would have spelled it exactly how you did. All right, so that means there must be one more letter or one less letter. All right, I'm going to try this. Millennial. M-I-L-L-E-N. I-A-L, millennial.
Nope, you also got it wrong.
Funch, you want to try it?
M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L.
Yep, that's right.
I left out an N.
Yep, Mason, two L's, you left, two N's.
Mace, you left out an L. It's
yep.
Two L's, two N's.
Two L's, two N's,
so
okay. Yeah.
We still don't have a spelling.
So
we
Funch
still
is
have
the
a
spelling bee champion.
Woo!
We eliminate. We got a champion in one word,
and it was an actual millennial.
Yeah, we could not spell. Yeah, because Funch, you are a millennial. What's the next voicemail?
Anything?
Nothing. Funch? Nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
Okay.
Nothing.
No, I was looking at a list of them. Sorry. The interesting thing going back about, you know, that guy that was talking about pronunciation.
Yes.
There are some people like that are great at pronouncing words, and there are other people that mispronouncing words is their whole act. You know, like if you've ever like heard a comedian, like wasn't Peter Falk like that or Norm Crosby, all they would do is mispronounce words.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There's a bit in that. If you can master the art of mispronouncing words. I'm not sure.
You know, if I read a great biography of Johnny Carson called King of the Night, and in the book, Johnny Carson talks about the fact that he would mispronounce names and words on purpose because he wanted the guy at home who was watching to think, hey, I could do that just as well as that guy could. that he had a little bit of element of playing dumb, even when he would mispronounce something, he really knew the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. All right, let's sneak this in there. This is something Mason sent me earlier. This is a little girl on TikTok. I have no idea whether or not this is going to play on the radio, but it is so blankin' funny when you play. It's going to be beeped, but this is, how old may she think this girl is? Maybe two? Two or three?
I would say, yeah, 2 or 3 years old.
And so it's a picture of just this little 2 or 3 year old girl, and you'll hear her mom ask her a question. Hit it, Funch.
How many days have you been home now?
Two f***ing many.
Two effing many is what the little girl says. Two effing men.
I'm all in on 2-year-olds cussing.
Oh, yeah. God, there's nothing funnier than little kids cussing. Although, hey, if you're a little kid, you're listening, please do not cuss. Don't come after us for supporting.
There's a reason we bleep
little
it
kids
on the radio.
Cussing. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. All right, more Mason and Ireland coming up next, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's Monday. We are enthusiastic. We are upbeat. We had a great time watching The Last Dance last night. Really cool that Michael Thompson's brother, Andy, who was responsible for helping to make that whole thing happen. It was kind of his brainchild. Joined us a little bit earlier in the show. And I think everybody, I thought it was just totally gripping television. And it gives us the next 4 Sundays with something to watch and something to look forward to.
All right, if you want to be part of the show, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Fred from Porter Ranch is online, Mace, with another Ventura County golf update. Fred, what do you got?
WU, it's WhatsApp. anyways, as a longtime listener back to the Mighty 690 days, I am going, John, I am going to play in beautiful Lompoc tomorrow morning. I'm driving 2 hours and 15 minutes to play. It's not in Ventura County. Actually, there are still carts there that you can ride in. Everyone's riding separately in their own cart. But yeah, Rustic Canyon. I'm playing Thursday morning at 8 a.m. It's walking only.
Yeah, I tried to get in at Rustic Canyon, Fred, and I had to wait like 2 weeks to get a good time, but I'll be up there sooner or later.
It's crazy. I was just there. I was just on the website, and there's nothing. Like, there's 345 is the first time, like, you know, in 2 weeks from now. It's crazy. And by the way, Jacoby says you're a great guy at Mountain Gate. He played you last month.
Yeah, he beat me in overtime. I lost to him in a tournament, but great guy.
He said you guys had a great match.
Well, keep golfing, Fred. We are in full support of people moving on and getting their lives back together. So we're glad to hear that that you're finding ways to play. And thank you for calling in, Mace. That's the best of both worlds. If you go and you get a cart and it's your own cart, nobody else can sit in it, then you're living.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, here's the exercise,
and here's the thing. Get back to your life, inch back to your life. I consider it to be sort of inching back to your life. So golf has just happened. It happens to be an elitist thing, right? Not everybody can afford to golf. Golf is something that more affluent people do. But it's also one of the activities that you can do while maintaining social distancing and while continuing to sort of get outside and to do something. I mean, I would say the same thing. Apparently also in Ventura County, they've opened up more bike paths, so people are able to ride a little bit more on their bikes.
I might move to Ventura County. They seem to be ahead of the curve here.
Think about it. They're a city of, or they're a county that is, I think, 1 million people, and we're a county of 7 or 8 million people. So it's much less densely populated and much smaller.
There's
so
some
their
great
rules
spots
are
up there, though,
beforehand.
Man. You ever been to Camarillo?
Oh, Camarillo. My best friend in the world lives Pierpont Beach, or lived in Pierpont Beach, which
you
is
ever
just
been to
spectacular.
Ever been to the Ojai Valley Inn? You ever been
of
to Ojai?
Of course. The Ojai Valley Inn, by the way, is one of the places where they are allowing people to golf. That is a beautiful place. You can't stay there. And by the way, the clubhouses aren't open. The restaurants aren't open. The foursomes or the twosomes are lined up 6 feet apart or at least 6 feet apart. So they're going about this in the right way. But the Ojai Valley Inn Country Club is one of the country clubs that is open out there.
Oh, by the way, okay, so are you caught up on Better Call Saul?
I am.
So tonight we get the season finale, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So if you're watching Better Call Saul, Mace, how do you pronounce the actress's first name who plays Kim Wexler?
It's Rhea Seehorn.
R-H-E-A. Rhea?
Yes, Rhea Seehorn.
Okay. You and I both predicted last week that she's gonna get it this season.
Yes.
I would like to amend it. I forgot. They're coming back next season. So there's a chance she survives tonight's episode. Because remember, they have one more year at least. So she's, you know, I can't imagine a whole season without her. So I think she survives tonight and comes back next year. Do you want to amend your prediction that Kim Wexler gets it this season?
Yeah, I think she had her big confrontation with Lalo. She survived it. So I'm guessing she probably, next year, by the way, is the last year.
Is that for sure?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's a done deal.
I would bet Mythical Money that she gets it next year, but it's, you know, we're only, Mythical Money renews itself at the end of every year.
Well, if you think about it, we never see her. Next year is the year that there will start to be more overlap with Breaking Bad.
Right. Well, we've already seen the evil twins. They showed up a couple of weeks ago.
They showed up. Lalo.
Yeah,
he's in Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
Nacho is part of Breaking Bad.
Gus, those
Jonathan
guys are all,
Banks, Gus Fring. Yeah, those guys are all. Actually, Michael Mando, who plays Nacho, is going to be on my podcast on Wednesday. That'll be the grand finale.
That dude's a good actor, the guy who plays Nacho.
He is so good.
Strong actor.
He's so good. And apparently a musical artist, too. He's got an album coming out. Which is cool. Better Call Saul has been fantastic this year. Originally, I talked to Tom Schnaz, who's one of the executive producers and writers, and he told me last year that season 5 would be a descent into darkness, and it has definitely been a descent into darkness. It started out as such a lighthearted, kind of goofy show, and now it's reached that same tone as Breaking Bad had towards the end. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, the first 3 seasons, I think, are on Netflix now, so you can go ahead and do a catch-up, but it's a great show.
Okay, so speaking of Netflix, I embarked on 2 new Netflix shows this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, have you seen Black AF?
I did. I watched it last night.
What'd you think?
I thought it was very, very, very
fun. I think I'm in on Black AF.
I am in on that. That is a really fun. I would love for Michael Thompson to watch that show and get his perspective.
It's basically, Funches, have you seen Black AF?
Yes, I watched about 4 episodes already.
It's kind of, what do you think?
I liked it.
It's kind of Black Curb,
right? Your enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Yeah.
All right. Now,
kind of reminds you of Larry David.
Please tell me that I don't think you would have gone down this rabbit hole, but I'm betting on my friend Juan. Did Juan watch Too Hot to Handle?
No, did not.
Okay. Too Hot to Handle, which is now a top 10 show on Netflix. All right. It debuted on Friday night. Here's the premise. They bring all these insanely hot, somewhat promiscuous singles to the same resort, and they get them from all over the world, like some of them, and they're all single, and they're all ridiculously good looking, and they just tell them it's a dating show and you're coming to a resort. Then they get to a resort, and then they make the rule that you cannot hook up, and they basically say you're all getting $100,000. But every time you guys do something that constitutes hooking up, we take money away. So if you make out, we're taking away like $2,000 or $3,000. If you hook up, if you have sex, we're taking away like $20,000. So it's all these guys running around in bathing suits. And basically they're putting them in situations where they're going out on dates and they're getting drunk and they're messing up. It's basically Vanderpump Rules on steroids. Too Hot to Handle. Are you in or you out?
I am out.
What?
I can't do reality sleaze fest TV.
I'm the same way. I can't watch that stuff.
Funch, in or out on Too Hot to Handle?
I'm interested. I'm very interested.
Lisa, my wife, completely out. She says I'm on my own for Too Hot to Handle, which is why I'm only on episode 3 instead of 7 or 8. But I'm all in on Too Hot to Handle just to see how it ends.
And that's a Netflix show.
Both of them. Black AF and Too Hot to Handle are both now top 10 Netflix shows. So is Tiger King. So is Ozark. So is a new show called Outer Banks. They got another one called The Innocence Files. All those are in the top 10 on Netflix right
now. My good friend Sue Kalinske is working on them right now. It's a cooking show. It's for Netflix. And the premise is that there are three teams. There are three chefs, and they each get a refrigerator filled with leftovers, the same leftovers. And it's their job to turn the leftovers into a fancy meal for judges to eat. It's a clever premise. She's actually, amazing how things can be done. She's supervising all the post-production, so she's editing it. She's got what's called an Avid system in her house, and the show's all been shot, and she's editing it from where she is at home.
Wow.
But that's
by the way, Lisa Ireland took one of your recommendations, and she now says it might be a top 5 show all time for her.
Yeah?
Schitt's Creek.
Oh, it's so good.
She can't get enough of it.
Every night,
walk in, she's like, I, again? She's already on like season 4.
It's ripped through it. You know what? It's really funny, but it's also got a really good heart. I if you liked The Good Place, I think you'd probably like Schitt's Creek.
I think it's very funny. And Dan Levy, who is Eugene's son, who stars as David.
And created the show along with Eugene.
Is fantastic.
Yeah, he's so funny. He's so damn funny. The thing I love about that show is there's a Gilligan's Island. Remember how on Gilligan's Island they went on a 3-hour tour, and yet they seemed to have enough clothes to last for 5 years?
Yeah, he has a different outfit every episode.
He's got a different
sweater every day. And Catherine O'Hara has different hair in every episode.
She's brought so many different wigs to that little motel. All right, more Mason and Ireland coming up next for you, 710 ESPN. Damn, there is no time to go to the can on this show.
Yeah, because we're moving. Things are happening. They're playing golf in Ventura. We're doing things. By the way, speaking of moving, 5 o'clock Fast Track is coming up in 15 minutes.
Yes.
Funch, let's squeeze in a couple more voicemails before we go to Fast Track. What do you got?
Just so you know, there may be a chance that Babe Ruth is black. That's what the Morning Show believes. But anyway, Mason and Ireland, why you guys always say, we're going to play a game? Mason, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. Francis can play. And Alan says, Steve, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. Francis, you can play. We know you guys are all playing, so why don't you say it over and over? I just don't get it. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah,
that is an excellent fair criticism.
And we always do say it, too.
We do is because people are tuning in and out all the time. So if you're just tuning in and all of a sudden people are just jumping in on this game, people want to know how many people are in. You know, like if you get in your car, especially between 5 and 6, this is maybe more true pre-quarantine than now, but if you're hopping in your car between 5 and 6, you know, Mace, Southern California, our radio station reaches 14 million people.
Yes.
And so you want people to know if there's a game, how many people are involved. We're doing radio theater. But he's completely right. We always all play. I still think we're going to say it, though, right? You kind of need to say it.
Yeah, you do. You do need to say it. Just because not everybody has heard. Somebody's flipping around. Somebody's just hearing for the first. Believe it or not, even after all these years, somebody is hearing just for the first time what we're saying and what we're doing. So for those people only, we say it. For everybody else, I know you get sick of it. It's kind of like our stories. We've all told our stories multiple times with varying degrees of frequency. Somebody hasn't heard our stories. Somewhere has not heard them.
There's one person who hasn't heard it yet, so we're going to sell it, damn it.
We're going to tell it to them.
What's the next one, Fudge?
Hey, Lindsay, a couple of days ago on Fast Track, you had a strong opinion that Pete Alonso was on the juice. Mason Ireland told you can't accuse someone of something like that without proof. Mason asked you, how would you like it if someone accused you of cheating? Actually, that did happen a few weeks ago during the alumni game when you guessed Ohio State for Jack Nicklaus.
Sure did.
When Ireland accused you of cheating, you insisted you didn't cheat, and you were highly offended at that. By the way, since that moment, Ireland has changed the rules of the game because I know he truly believes you cheated. Have a great day.
Yeah, all it takes is one person to say, I think you cheated, for you to have cheated, Lindsay.
See, Lindsay, how does that feel? I believe you're a cheater. But you
I know that I didn't, so it doesn't bother me. But to the caller's point, I think that, you know, if you guys are going to make such a big deal about me accusing other people, then I think you need to check yourself before you accuse me of cheating.
All right, Fudge, what else you got?
John, Steve, this is Gil. I just had a thought about from what you guys are saying about the Jordan documentary, why he's releasing it now. I was listening to Sedona this morning, and Ramona was saying that it's been 23 years since he retired, since that game in games against the Jazz. Maybe he waited 23 years. I wonder what's special about that number. All right, take care.
Nah, Cookie, no, Mace, I think this is a reach.
Okay.
I to say that it's been 23 years since the Bulls dynasty ended. He's number 23, and he connects it. I also think it's a reach. I'm curious what you think. For people that say, well, he's releasing it now because LeBron is getting so popular, and he wants people to remember about him. I just think he was okay with it being released because he's been removed from the game. They went to him, and it all came together. Do you think there's more to it than that?
Well, first of all, on the 23 years, I mean, a lot like all this numerology stuff, I think a lot of it is just coincidence. It just happens to be 23 years since the season went down, since he made the final shot against Utah. And it's only, and he happened to wear the number 23. I just think that's totally accidental and coincidence. Do I think that somewhere in the back of Michael Jordan's head, he feels like LeBron is getting so much attention and he's compared so frequently to LeBron that he wants this to come out right now? I don't know that that's not true, if that makes sense. I'm using a double negative there.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's not true. I mean, I can't climb inside Michael Jordan's head, but we do have conversations now about who the greatest of all time is, and LeBron is in the conversation, and Michael Jordan is in the conversation. So does he want this out there right now? It certainly reminded me that Michael Jordan is the greatest that ever played the game.
Yeah, but LeBron's not done yet. LeBron is an unfinished book. So let's see how LeBron's career ends before we start making those comparisons. And by the way, okay, May, so I'll let you, any of you guys can chime in on this. Somebody after The Last Dance last night came up with a three-word phrase that they put on a T-shirt that went on sale this morning based on The Last Dance. It's not The Last Dance. What's the three-word phrase? Anybody want to guess?
Let's see. Give me a second. Because I made a few notes.
You can make a red. You can write down on the internet, buy a red and black shirt that says this.
AKA Mason's got to search Twitter.
No, he's okay.
No, I'm not searching Twitter.
I've given him no information that would allow him to search.
I got it.
Is it
Traveling Cocaine Party?
Traveling Cocaine Circus. Yes.
Ah, that's awesome.
That's right.
Cocaine Circus.
Whoever was interviewing Jordan said, before you got to the Bulls, that team was sometimes referred to as a traveling cocaine circus. And Jordan laughed so hard he almost spit out his drink.
Yeah, he said there were lines. He went to the hotel room. There were lines on one side of the room, weed on another, and women on another. He said, if this room goes down, I'm going down with them. So he was just done. He was going to live clean from that point on.
And so
lines, weed, and women.
Yeah, you can buy a T-shirt that says Traveling Cocaine Circus. And Jordan left. By the way, you know what Jordan was drinking? Ramona did a little investigative work and determined what he had a drink to his right. Do you know what that was?
No.
It was Cinchoro Tequila, which he is part owner of, along with Jeannie Buss.
Ah, there you go.
So he was drinking Cinchoro Tequila and laughing when somebody said, and he told that story about, and then he walked into the room and then he had to walk out. And after that, he said that he was on his own.
See, now I did have that in my notes. Had I gone through my notes, it would have been there.
You would have seen traveling cocaine circus?
I've got
circus?
Written down, traveling cocaine circus, lines, weed, women. yeah, that was during his second, that was during his rookie year.
By the way, how refreshing was it to see a guy begging to play? And they had him on a 7-minute
limit.
I'm glad you brought
this up. Okay, so Jerry Reinsdorf made a really good point. And you would not see this happen today. If the doctor says there is a 10% chance that you can have a career-ending injury, who in their right mind puts Michael Jordan on the floor?
Well, I thought Reinsdorf had a great analogy there. He said, let's say you have the worst headache you've ever had. And I say, all right, I can give you a pill that can cure the headache. And there are 10 pills in the bottle. 9 of the pills will cure you. The other one will kill you. Do you take a pill? And I thought Jordan's answer was great.
How bad is the headache?
How bad is the effing headache?
But do you think in anybody's world today, in the year 2020, mm-hmm. when we get basketball going again, if a doctor says, hey, there's a 1 in 10 chance that he could suffer a career-ending injury, what are the odds that guy gets on the floor?
Well, Mace, I'll give you the answer to your own question. This played out this year. Zion, in his first game, played great, hit 4 threes, got his team in again. I think they're playing the Spurs. Got the game into overtime, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Alvin Gentry took him out. And Zion said, what are you doing? I just got us back in this game. We're going to overtime. Put me back in. And Gentry goes, I'd love to, but I'd lose my job. You're out.
Right, but so, was there a 1 in 10 chance of Zion's career being over forever?
Well, according to the Pelicans, there was.
Because that's what the doctor said, 1 in 10 chance. I'm telling you, if a doctor said there's a 1 in 10 chance, LeBron, your career could end at any moment if you're on the floor. There's no way you go out there risking that. A 10% chance? That's like Russian roulette. It's not exactly like Russian roulette.
No,
because there's only
1 in 6,
but you get the idea.
But I think just in general, the way the NBA works is not only would they not let Michael Jordan play more than 7 minutes, they never would have let him dress.
Yeah, they never would have let him dress. Exactly.
But I thought it was incredibly insightful to his competitiveness that he was begging Stan Albeck, the coach, to go into a game that would have got him into the playoffs. And all the reporters were saying, do you think your team is tanking to get a lottery pick? And Jordan's like, I don't care about that. I want to get in the playoffs. And think about this, Mace. Does John Paxson not hit that game winner that you saw last night?
Right.
He never has that series against the Celtics.
Right. We never get to see those two, those games 1 and 2.
64-point game, which, by the way, now, today, is still the NBA record for most points scored in a playoff game. It doesn't happen if John Paxson doesn't hit that shot.
Yeah, what, he scored 50... What are one game one? Game
49 in game one, 64 in game two.
Crazy. Crazy. And lost both games.
Right.
All right. Coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Let me tell you about LegalZoom. Health and safety are on top of everyone's mind right now. No matter what happens, you want to make sure your loved ones are protected. That's why LegalZoom continues to provide a reliable way for everyone to set up the right estate plan without leaving your house. It starts with finding the answers to questions like, do you need a last will and testament or a living trust? What about an advanced health care directive? What's a power of attorney? Thankfully, you don't have to figure out all of those things on your own. LegalZoom's online resources make it easy to get started, and if you need to speak to an attorney, their independent attorney network is there to guide and advise you. LegalZoom is not a law firm, so you won't have to worry about expensive billable hours adding up. Take an important step for your family today. Go to LegalZoom.com, get started on a last will, living trust, and more. Or find out how you can speak to an attorney for advice on the right estate plan. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.